Yeah, I did a lot of looking up ages for this episode of Dynamite. I don't want to like give too much away, but I spent a lot of this episode wondering how old certain people were.
Yeah, because you remember them from your childhood.
Yeah. How old is Jeff Jarrett? How old is Sting? How old is CM Punk? You know, all the important questions.
Mm-hmm. These are very important questions, and they will be answered, probably, I assume. Welcome to AE Double Back for Wednesday, June 21st, 2023. Once again, we are Calderless, so we have reached deep into my past, my podcasting past, to bring an old partner back from the you are a bigger podcaster than I am, so it's not like I'm resurrecting any sort of career, but Art Tebble, welcome.
Hey, hi.
Art, what do you do? What's your deal? Why are you here on this wrestling podcast?
Earth.
Well, what a...
And on Earth, yeah.
Yeah.
No, take those in order, whichever order works for you.
Sure. What am I doing on Earth? Just getting by. How did me I come too. To be here? Chan asked me yesterday if I wanted to, and it was good because I'm not sure I would have watched Dynamite by now without that prodding.
There you go.
What do I do normally? I do Friends at the Table, an actual play podcast. If you're listening to this and you haven't heard that, and that's the kind of thing you like, and you want to listen to, like, what if an actual play podcast was really long and about socialism and gay deities, were for you.
That's basically what this podcast is, the wrestling version. So yeah,
I think everyone should be doing that version. You know, burn thrones, build tables. That's what I want to do.
Real quick, Teresa, are you eating crunchy wrapper candy?
Yes.
Would you mind maybe not crinkling it quite so much?
Let me open it up. It's a big package of Smarties.
Oh my God. Not only was it intensely distracting, it's a shit candy to boot.
Well,
oh my.
You know what? I found it today in some uneaten Halloween candy. So,
Jesus Christ.
This in a box of Nerds.
If it were a Twix, I could forgive you. Smarties are trash. And
they're not bad.
Arguably, you would derive more joy from throwing them away than eating them.
Are they my first choice? No, but in the absence of anything else, they're great.
You know what?
Every child will tell you the same thing.
Well, yeah, because they'll get anything with sugar, they'll cram in their goddamn mouths.
Yeah, that's me, baby.
I was going to cut that whole part out. Now I'm leaving it in so that everyone knows your shame.
Cherries are a good recording snack. I find they're contained. They're easy to eat, and they don't make a lot of noise unless you're eating them real weird.
Hey, what? No, if you spit them into the bowl of pits, then you can hear that every once in a while.
In a spittoon, ding.
That too. A cherry spittoon. Why don't we have those?
I don't know. We've really given up as Americans.
You know what? You say that, but I bought like a 12 of these little, I don't know what you call them, like finger bowls. They're like, you know, like 3 inches across, and they're like glass,
yeah,
and, you know, like
for sauces and dippings.
Yeah. And I felt so high class.
Nice.
And you can use them for things like cherry pits.
Mm-hmm. I've got a lot of bowls like that. I got them at antique stores like a long time ago, and they're awesome. Some of them have handles.
Oh, that's weird.
No,
That's a teacup.
No,
it's not a
no.
I don't think you know what.
I do
look,
know.
We're here to talk wrestling, yeah, not dishware.
Okay. If you say so.
Okay. Fine. Also, dishware, but in addition, wrestling. Art, you watch AEW sometimes, or just like slowly, or
slowly, definitely. I don't know what it is, but the pandemic broke me of religiously watching weekly wrestling programs. I'll watch pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Or premium live events as they are on the other side.
It's a little bit easier to take a premium live event when you're paying $5 a month as opposed to $50 per pay-per-view.
Yeah, it's been a bit since I've bought an AEW pay-per-view. And then if I hear that Dynamite or, and this almost never happens, Rampage is good, I'll check it out.
Right, right.
Sweet.
That's fair.
Collision now too, but I haven't watched a Collision yet. And I don't know. I don't know about Collision.
We can reference it briefly because we will be running across some people who are supposed to be Collision exclusive and apparently aren't. So,
but it's not a brand split.
No, it's not. I will recommend to you, rather than purchasing the pay-per-view one of these days, if you want to see an AEW pay-per-view, go watch it in the theater. I say that to everybody I run across. It's so much fun.
Yeah. Mm.
Tricky. I might not even be able to watch live this weekend, but I'm very excited for Forbidden Door in a way that I haven't been excited for a lot of stuff lately.
Did AEW make you? Dynamite tonight make you excited for it? Or were you already excited?
I don't know that I could have been much more sold than Okada Danielson just as a as a concept existing.
Yeah, that's $50.
But Dynamite
right there
didn't hurt.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, well, let's get into it then. Hardys versus the Guns, right off the bat.
All right, we're still in Chicago, and I was like, are they recording them on separate nights? They'd have to, because otherwise those people have been there like all day forever or something. It had to be separate nights.
Dynamite's live, right?
Dynamite is live. I assumed Collision was as well. So that's why I was like, it's got to be separate nights. But I don't
understand
they tape Rampage on one of these nights, you know? So it's like,
although sometimes when they're in the Southland here, they'll do Dynamite and then Rampage on a separate night. But yeah, who knows now that they have three televised shows, how it's going to shake out.
I guess it depends on like where they are and if they think they can sell out. Like in LA, there's millions of people, so they can like sell maybe more tickets, so they'll spread it out.
Yeah, I'm sure, but when they go to like New York and they do the Arthur Ashe, they do Dynamite Rampage back to back. They could definitely sell seats again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shit, I don't know. You know what? If you work for the company, can you just let us know? Thanks. How just drop and why us a line. Are these decisions made?
And live Collision might be that live Rampage is over. Just because of the travel headache that would.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder, right? I mean, just with the Acclaimed on Saturday mentioning that they would be at Dynamite Rampage and Collision, which I'm like, what the fuck? That's an insane work week. Unless two of those nights they're just like scissoring, in which case, okay, that's like a fun paycheck. I guess. I don't know.
The way they've been doing it, it's totally reasonable for them to be three nights. Just every night is like, hey, we're not actually wrestling. We're just going to come in, give a quick rhyme, and then leave.
And they did not show up last night, right? No Acclaimed on Dynamite.
No, so that's correct. Yeah. I had to think. I was like, wait, did they?
So what just a lie.
About? Oh, no. They weren't.
Here's the thing. If we're going through the recap and we suddenly remember that they were, well, great. We'll pretend that this conversation never happened.
No, they weren't. So, yeah, they must have needed a night off.
Good for them. Get some sleep.
Anyway, so we've got the Hardys versus the Gun Boys. I like the Gun Club's cool new intro.
Oh, my goodness.
It's so good.
Austin doing the thing where he's got the finger guns.
Yes,
and he like goes,
the spit.
Just spits a little bit. Like that's.
It looks so good. And damn, dude, I was like, are they going to be the new Young Bucks? Because they're so over the top with this shtick. I love it so much. Their dumbass outfits. It just makes me think of when the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega were like super, super heel. Mm-hmm. Like not that long ago.
Nope.
how fucking funny it was. Their weird ass outfits every week.
They're great outfits every week. Are we having a?
they are both at the same time. It's like a Schrodinger's cat of horrible and wonderful.
Yeah, it's one and the same. The worse it is, the better it is.
Sequins so large that they just leave spots on the Titantron or whatever they call it. The Titancon.
I mean, it burns on the LED.
Contron.
Yeah, I mean, they're like mirrors. They're basically just mirrors.
They're disco balls, which is ridiculous and wonderful.
Yeah, it was pretty great. It's so crazy because they would not have won me over had they not had this ridiculous run as the Ass Boys.
Yeah.
Had they separated from their father and just done all this weird ass shit in the in-between and gotten to this point.
Yeah. Right? Like this, it feels very organic. Yes. Because I was not a fan of them when they were with their dad. And I mean, it's not like they're different human beings. It was not that long ago.
And they're not necessarily different wrestlers, but very different character now.
And now that's I'm just watching them and going like, oh my God, look how crisp they are in the ring. Look what wonderful stuff. You know, like just in their ring work on top of their stuff outside is wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's going to work or not, but if Bullet Club Gold can have some staying power, that could really work to get them over.
Dude.
There's clearly something there because the Acclaimed became two of the biggest stars in the company off the backs of a feud with the Guns. And that doesn't happen by accident. That's a.
Yeah. But I mean, looking at Juice Robinson. Like the synergy there is just I think it's just a recipe for success.
Yeah, I think this is a conversation for later in the segment, but I love Juice right now.
Yes.
I don't know where this goes, but you know.
I totally agree with that. This match was good. I'm still not sold on Jeff Hardy, although as when he first came back, I was like, oh my God, his outfit is so dated. But now as popular culture is catching back up to everything 20 years ago, it's like he's now suddenly very current. I'm like, oh my God, we've like eclipsed ourselves as humans. Here we are.
Fortunately for you, if you're not a big fan of Jeff Hardy, you won't be seeing him for a while because we'll be in Canada. And for reasons that should be perfectly clear, he is not allowed in Canada.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
Is it though?
I mean, for him.
Yeah. I mean, again, is it though? Because he gets to rest and he's still going to get paid.
That's true. Well, I guess so. I don't know.
It's hard watching Jeff Hardy in 2023 for a lot of reasons. I get that they move, that they people watch them, they sell merchandise, but I struggle to have fun watching them anymore.
Yep.
Matt,
I still enjoy.
This is my least favorite version of Matt Hardy, but I do enjoy Matt Hardy. I don't like the style of the Hardys, but that's maybe just a personal thing,
especially because at least Matt has, you know, adapted his style somewhat. He still jumps off ladders sometimes and has to be out for months because he shouldn't have jumped off ladders.
Yeah.
But like Jeff is still trying to do swantons and whispers in the wind. And like, even when he pulls them off, they don't look good. They look like an old man just fucking landing on the canvas. You're like, oh, ooh, that just looked like a sack of potatoes.
Sack of potatoes.
That being said, I thought, you know, this whole segment was good. And,
you know, I was like, okay on the segment. I really like the Gun Boys. But when it came to the Bullet Club Gold helping the Guns win, and then they started beating up the Hardys,
Ricky Starks runs in, then immediately gets beat up. Then FTR runs in, and then the crowd is chanting CM Punk. And I'm like, he can't come out. It's a Wednesday. He's not allowed. But then he does come out. And he's got his Danhausen shirt, and FTR's got their CM FTR shirt. I thought that was great. And then the CM Punk has a promo, and basically next week, or what am I saying? This coming Saturday on Collision, it's going to be 4-on-4 with Bullet Club Gold and the Gun Kids versus FTR, Ricky Starks, and CM Punk. And I'm like, that sounds like an amazing match.
Yeah.
That sells me on a Saturday that I probably won't watch on a Saturday.
There's if you want to watch all of the AEW content this week, it's going to be an uphill battle.
Yeah. You know, if you DVR everything and stay off socials, you can save everything for Sundays. And then every Sunday, you can have your own personal pay-per-view with 5 hours of wrestling.
Except miserable. On the weeks where there is another 5 hour pay-per-view. So it's 10 straight hours, which is a lot. Yeah.
That's devotion is what it is.
That's too much. Too much wrestling.
A thing that I had about this segment is that, did Jay White make a mistake signing with AEW? If he was in New Japan, would they be asking him to sell like he's being asked to sell for 44-year-old CM Punk? You know, Jay White is one of the best in the world, and he's not being treated particularly seriously from what I've seen in his AEW run, and part of it is because he can't compete for the championship because of the alignment problem, but did Jay White make a bad call here?
I don't think so. I feel like he's done all he can in Japan, and there's really nowhere else left to conquer except the US. And I think that he has enough respect with the booking committee that this is how you build him up.
Yeah, basically right now, because it's the same problem that we had with Tony Storm, right? Like the booking and Tony Khan and everybody sees Tony Storm as international superstar, give her the belt right away. And they were pushing that onto the fans, and the fans promptly rejected it and absolutely did not want Tony Storm to have the belt, especially when we had other people that had been with the company for a while, like Jamie Hayter, who are so good and fun to watch and had been there, and people built up a fan, you know, she built up a fan base. And so they eventually gave the belt to Jamie. And so now Tony Storm having the belt, it feels different because now it's a heel turn. Now it's, you know, whatever. It just feels different. She's been around a little bit longer. The approach is a little different.
I mean, but she's 200% more watchable now as a heel. Yes. Than as a face when she came in.
Completely agree. Completely, completely agree. So with Jay White, I think that, I mean, they definitely have this thing with MJF going on right now, and they have to play out the storyline with MJF and Adam Cole. But they could at any time in the future put Jay White on that track, and it would be like glorious. Everyone would love it. And, you know, it could happen anytime. But I think they're careful to make sure to build up a little bit before they do that. I mean, also, they can't, but right now because of MJF, but.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to see MJF lose at any time. I would be happy to see.
You want to see him lose it at any time?
You know what? Never. Never. I want him to hold the belt forever.
You want a San Martino run. Him.
Yes, I do.
Out of MJF. Okay.
And yeah, like I'm not really interested in Jay White versus MJF, but I would kill to see, you know, Cole take it from MJF, and then Jay White come on in and say like, that's mine.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's see if 2 year run of that feud.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. And then you know what else I want to see? Omega versus Jay White.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I love Kenny Omega. I want him to always be the champion. I love him as a face. I love him as a heel. I love him even more as a heel. But right now he's kind of a face. So.
Yeah.
And that match happened, right? That was New Japan had Kenny Omega.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it was like.
You want to give them $10? You could watch that, or you watch that on YouTube right now. I'm saying, but yeah, I would love for them to heat that back up. There's a lot of fun stuff. And I would also watch Kenny Omega fight anyone. That's
Yeah, right. That'd be so good.
Would you watch him fight a blow up doll?
I have. Because
Jim Cornette would have an issue with that.
I
will say that this is all the booking of a pay-per-view like this always involves like just god-awfully huge 10-mans that honestly I couldn't give two shits about. Like mm-hmm. even if it's full of people I love, I'm like, what story can be told here? I'm going to get 30-second snippets of something I want to see, and then it's just a big schmoz, and we're going to get that over and over again for 5 straight hours.
Well, you're reading from my notes later in the night, but yeah.
But I understand, like, yeah, your go-home show is going to, you know, have a lot of this sort of like, and all of you will face all of us, you know, in 3 days or whatever. So, like, I understand why all of this happened, and I'm largely okay with it. But also, I've been very agnostic on Punk. Like, I haven't been like, fuck that guy has like ruined wrestling. And I haven't been like, he is the most amazing thing ever, and they should have given him everything he wanted. And the Young Bucks need to lick his, you know, feet for being so great. And after watching Collision mm-hmm. and watching this here, he is not a huge net negative for me, but just a little bit. Like, I was not interested when he came out and was, you know, cock walking around. Like, yeah. I want to see the guns. I want to see the Bullet Club. FTR is fine. And, you know, I love Ricky, but CM Punk, I'm like,
We all know, CM Punk can talk a great game. He's still one of the best talkers in the business, but since he's come back, he's had one great match and then a bunch of really medium matches
mm-hmm.
With an incomplete slash, you know, the grade for the match with him and Moxley where Moxley wins mm-hmm. that shouldn't count as a match, but was a very compelling segment in the ring. But like, otherwise he had the dog collar match with MGF, which I loved, and every other match in his last run was okay at best.
Yep.
Right.
And I don't know that he has it anymore. He took another year off.
Yeah.
He's not getting any younger. And because he seems to need to be heated up all the time, you know, I see him with Jay White and I'm like, well, so he's gonna beat Jay White. Right? Or mm-hmm. or they're gonna swerve this away. But like if this feud continues, it ends with Punk pinning Jay White. And I don't need that right now.
Yeah.
It feels real weird because he's the guy who's always, you know, like fighting against authority. And then what do you do when you're building a show around him?
Yeah.
And he's very obviously the number one star. Who's he fighting against?
Yeah. He's Triple H now.
Yeah. But Triple H, I mean, he was like, yeah, he made it work somehow. I don't know how he did.
I mean, the way Triple H made it work is that when Triple H caught fire, he wasn't 44.
Well,
when Triple H became Triple H, he was younger.
Yeah, and I guess so. Wikipedia
Triple J, which is not related.
I gave this segment as a whole a thumbs up.
I thumbed it up as well, yeah, even though I was, you know, kind of like, eh, on the end.
Mm-hmm. In my notes, I have it as thumb middle, but I'm very cognizant that if it had come in the second hour, it would have gotten a thumbs up. I think I just came in a little a little down.
That's
Here's
right.
the thing you need to know about our show. The rule is you thumb your heart. And if your heart told you to write down middle, then it's a middle.
If your heart is grumpy and depresso all day and through the entire show, it still doesn't matter. We still thumb our hearts, and everyone knows sometimes we just go through that. Sometimes I'm grumpy and I don't know why. And I'm
I just needed a warm-up act, and this ended up being my warm-up act.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is it because they needed to get CM Punk out of the building before Jon Moxley showed up? I don't know if that's true, but it's what I've heard today.
Whoa.
I thought it was, does Mox have a problem with Punk?
Oh, yeah. I thought
it was just the Elite.
No, the Elite weren't there at all. That
yeah.
That was a pre-tape. But there was a rumor going around that someone who said that they wouldn't have to interact with Punk except on pay-per-view was ended up having to be in the same building as Punk and was mad about it. And it has, if this report is true, and let's be honest, I have no idea, but if that's true, through my process of elimination of people he was talking shit about in his little Instagram tantrum right. from 3 months ago, it's Moxley. Moxley's the one who'd be upset at being in the building with Punk.
Honestly, the fact that they said for practically since Collision was a rumor, people were like, oh yeah, they're going to split them up, and the Elite will never be in the same building with Punk, so and it's dumb. Always going to be two completely different shows. And the fact that the very first show after the very first Collision, he shows up, says to me, all of it's a work.
Well, it could be, or it could also be they were still in Chicago and Chicago wants to see Punk, and that's part of what sells tickets.
Yeah, I think it's that plus they didn't want the Elite to get booed, and because they need them to look good for this match on Sunday.
Could be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that could be too.
Any hoozles.
This match is not going to rule, but we can get to that later too.
We've got Jeff Jarrett, Mark Briscoe. They're doing a concessions match, which when they brought this up that they were going to do this, I just am always struck by how weird it is. Like, specifically, it's a concessions match. It's not a match that runs into the concessions, as sometimes happens. It's specifically a concessions match. And to me, it's just so funny to be like, aren't we a land of plenty, of such largesse, that we're like, we are specifically going to start by ruining a bunch of food because they're fuck all the starving people and poors all around the world. We can do this.
We can
hot dogs.
We can fling bratwurst at will. It's weird. And like, yeah, I get it. Because this is, you know, 2023, and the original match wasn't billed as a concession stand brawl. It was, you know, a fight that happened to involve a concession stand, you know, I mean, air quotes organically, but like, yeah, that's where we are now today in wrestling. And that's fine. All of this is fine. I don't know. Art, what do you have like a relationship with ROH and the, you know, the Briscoes and, you know, all of this?
Yeah, I'm an incredible ROH hipster in this way. I was going to ROH shows in like 2004, 2003, even maybe, when they were in like hotel ballrooms and recreation centers in New York. So yeah, I've known the Briscoes for a long time. I was very disappointed with the Briscoes when they, you know, did their little career suicide era.
Yeah.
I've always thought they're very good. I've liked all of their work over the years, when they weren't talking about not liking gay people. And I'm very, you know, it's sad what happened.
Yeah.
Right.
So how does this hit with you? Because for me, like, even though Jarrett has been really amazing, I've always hated Jarrett, and I've enjoyed him immensely during this run. Mark Briscoe, I don't have a lot of history with. And so like, I see him and I go, oh, okay, I can see how that's, you know, winning and charming. And like, I could be into him, but it doesn't really I'm not into any of this emotionally. Any of this view.
It's tricky because Jay was the better singles guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great that they're giving Mark this rub and this little run, but this doesn't do anything for me.
Okay.
Beyond like the nostalgia of both of them, honestly. I love seeing people sell for food though. So that's if you sell getting hit with popcorn or a hot dog or having mustard sprayed on you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all I want from professional wrestling, honestly.
This was funny because there's so many people in disguise. There's Karen Jarrett. There was, Sanjay. Was Jay Lethal disguised? I can't remember now.
I think he was. He was wearing a hoodie, which is enough.
Yeah. Then Papa Briscoe was even in disguise. I thought this was pretty good, but I say good in that it was like, it was just silly. The whole thing's silly, and yes, it's supposed to be silly. Also, this is a silly group of people, and they're just doing a lot of silly stuff. And they sell it really well, which, you know, if you're going to do something extremely silly, then you better sell the shit out of it. And they do a good job with that. There's some ladders involved. There's tables involved. But even Papa Briscoe put Jay Lethal through a table. I thought that was funny.
Jay Lethal was done so dirty by the edit that all of Jay Lethal's offense was in picture in picture, and they come back and then he gets laid out.
Yeah, lot of stuff happens in picture in picture, and it pisses me off because I can never quite catch it because I'm always distracted by the pizza commercials.
Yeah, for real.
It's a struggle.
Honestly, the way they did Lethal was the most problematic part of this for me because, this entire time they've sort of been going along that like Lethal doesn't really want to do this. He's actually friends with Mark Briscoe. The rest of his friends are not. And so sometimes he gets dragged along to do stuff he doesn't want to do. So there was no emotional arc, present where Lethal was like, I don't know if I should do this. Oh, I have to for whatever reason. It's just, right, I'm just going to go up and beat Mark Briscoe because, and that was the only emotional hook I had into this thing. Mm-hmm. And when they just sort of threw that out just for the sake of this, you know, big silly schmoz, I checked out completely. So that I was like, this is not working for me. And then when everybody came in at the end, I was like, well, this is, I don't care. Mm-hmm. This is like a Transformers movie where just there's pixels on the screen. I thought it was funny
because we had Sadnam come in, right? And everyone's like, whoa. Yeah. But then, you know, everyone and their mom, it was Chris Daniels, the best friends, the Lucha Brothers, they all ran out to help Mark Briscoe.
Yeah.
And eventually Mark takes out Jeff and wins. But like, it's, you know, I think that was more to sell like how big Sadnam is maybe and mm-hmm. whatever. I don't know. But I just – it was funny when they all came out. I don't know. I just liked that part. Of course, yeah. I like any part where I get to see the Lucha Brothers also. So there's a little of that.
Fair enough.
Yeah, although using this time between Rey Fénix grievously injuring himself mm-hmm. on a run-in seems unfair.
Yeah, I can see that.
But I know that he's not allowed to work Forbidden Door, right? So it's a
oh, because he's not cleared?
No, because he works for the wrong Mexican promotion.
Oh.
The Lucha Brothers are affiliated with AAA and NJPW is affiliated with CMLL. And because of that, none of the AAA talents are allowed to work.
That is so crazy.
Oh, I was not aware of that.
Mexican wrestling is a land of deep, deep bad feelings between companies.
Oh my God. That's such a fucking bummer.
It's why you can't get Andrade Naito on Forbidden Door either, which would be a banger of a match.
Damn. That's so fucking crazy, dude.
I guess we'll just have to be content with Republic of Lucha shows.
Yeah. Oh, man. Wouldn't it be great if they could just do that? Get people from NJPW to the Lucha's store?
Well, I mean, they did. They got Takeshita.
They did get Takeshita, but Takeshita's also AEW now.
Yeah, fair enough. Mm. what'd you thumb this thing?
I thumbs it up.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, you thumb it up as well?
I had thumbs up, but a weak one.
Fair. Yeah. I was actually vacillating between a middle and a down. Like the whole Lethal thing really did drag down my enjoyment of this, but I also recognize that, like, that's not the point of it. The point is this big silly thing with a bunch of people in it and just going silly. So, like, I middle it because, like, yeah, it's exactly what it's supposed to be.
So you were vacillating.
I was.
Okay.
No longer.
But we got Takeshita and the Blackpool Combat Club. Moxley calling Takeshita tall, dark, and sexy. I second that.
True.
Basically, he's cutting a promo, and Danielson cuts a promo talking about Okada. I mean, it was great, and I give it a thumbs up, but I'm also like, you know, they didn't have to sell me any more than they already have. into it.
Yeah. You give Mox 30 seconds and Brian 30 seconds, and I'm going to say yes. I love it.
Yeah. Yep.
And they're not going to tell me anything new, but they're going to tell it to me in a way that I find deeply compelling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, love these guys.
Yeah.
We've got Jericho, Sammy, and Minoru Suzuki versus Action Andretti, AR Fox, and Darius Martin. I mean,
AR Fox gets Minoru a Suzuki, chant.
What?
They're chanting for him. That warms my heart.
For who?
AR Fox.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. This motherfucker.
I assume he's a hometown boy or something, but like.
I don't know. But he's so good. I mean, how could you not, right?
Yeah.
But when you have Minoru Suzuki, it's like.
Yeah.
I mean, I know how this is going to go. You know? Suzuki's reaction to Darius, like, interfering and hitting him was so funny.
Yeah.
Just that, like, everyone's like, you fucked up. Just his grin. I'm like, oh man, I love this kind of shit. It's like a movie, you know? But there's this one move where AR Fox, like, just took a quick peek behind him, got up on the ropes, and did a flip backwards onto, and I was like, who the fuck's back there? I don't even know. And then we get to see, you know, who's back there. Oh my God. How he can do that with such accuracy, with just a quick peek. No. It's just frightening the things this man can do.
I am very worried for his future health. Like I'm not sure how. Did you look up how old AR Fox is? Art.
No, I did look up how old Minoru Suzuki is.
Okay.
But how old is Minoru Suzuki is the same age as Jeff Jarrett. They're both 55.
What?
Wow. Okay.
Suzuki looks better.
AR Fox is 35.
35. Okay, that's not too bad. But also, he wrestles a style that says to me that he's not going to be doing that for much longer.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Look, I'm going to be positive.
No, I want him to. I mean, well, okay. I want him to be healthy. I love watching him wrestle. I don't want him to end up like the Hardys, who are. What, 10 years older?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I doubt it. I mean, he seems pretty versatile. But anyways, I don't know.
A lot fewer miles than the Hardys had at the same age.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
He's not doing tables and stuff. He's doing flips and everything, but He's not doing like, I'm going to jump off of this building just to see if I can do it. And then if I wake up, you know, I'm good to go. Yeah. So, I don't know. I just thought there was a fun match. It was pretty much what I expected. Jericho got Darius to tap. Renee then interviews in the ring, and this is all the same segment, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So Renee comes in to interview in the ring, which I hate it when they have sound issues. And of course they have them seemingly all the time. And this is another moment, but anyway, Jericho calls Sting a whore. Hilarious. Sting comes out with Darby, of course. And basically they're going to do a six man at Forbidden Door. Sting is so funny. He's so good. Like, I wish they gave him more opportunities to do that. You know what I mean?
Just to what? Be like old Sting?
Yeah. I love yeah. it. It's I mean, so I, funny. It's so good. And
I like, assume like they ask him, hey, Mr. Borden, what would you like to do? And and whatever he says, they're like, yeah, absolutely. You may do that. Okay. So I feel like he just has been, you know, doing crow Sting for a while. I was like, you know what? I want to do a little bit of Beach Blast Sting.
I love it so much. It's so funny and quick, and I don't know. I just love him. I just love him.
Yeah, yeah.
I gave this segment, and it really, the ending part with Sting kind of helped too. It all got a thumbs up from me.
Yeah, yeah. Like this is all fluffy nonsense to get us to, you know, something at Forbidden Door, mm-hmm. and I've got zero problem with any of it.
I'm thumbs middle on this. I think this is this segment for me is the negative of Forbidden Door, mm-hmm. that this segment doesn't feel like it has enough heat. It doesn't feel like it has enough plot. I wanted something that felt a little more impactful.
Yeah.
And I guess
yeah.
they're trying to do that with the Jericho Sting thing where they've never been in a match before. It doesn't seem true. I believe them because
yeah, like I could see that timing would have said
if it was a lie, but
because at what point in WCW was Jericho like a big enough star to even get near Sting, and then you know they were just in separate promotions for the rest of the time.
Yeah, the Jericho was probably a big enough deal in WCW to interact with Sting for 6 weeks. And it didn't work out in those 6 weeks because that's not what Sting was doing. But it's how you know that WCW wasn't doing a brisk enough house show business, right? Is that
right?
This hasn't happened on one of those. But yeah, I like the match was fine. Later in the show, I'm going to have the opposite reaction to a lot of the same problems. But
oh yeah, no, that I do that
this
constantly.
Time. It didn't do it for me. Thumbs middle, but a high middle.
Okay.
At some point, I'm going to have to make finer distinctions with these thumbs, and they'll be like quarter thumbs and, you know, half reversed upside down thumbs.
Yeah, I took your three output and turned it into six, I think, is what I did.
I also, just to clarify, because I mentioned a six-man, it's going to be Jericho, Sammy, and Minoru Suzuki versus Sting, Darby, and a mystery person that they're going to announce later, which they announce, I guess, on Saturday.
On the one hand, I understand it. On the other hand, Jesus Christ, just tell us who the fuck it is. I don't
know. I mean, you're trying to sell Collision. I get it. Because it's a new promotion. But how annoying can you be?
I only have so many hours in the week.
Yeah, I don't like dragging out a stupid announcement like that. Anyways, we've got a blind. Okay, then we have Shivani with some guy. I forget his name.
RJ and, City.
Okay,
he's got a YouTube thing that they do, and
okay.
I'm always torn as to whether I enjoy his demeanor or I'm just thoroughly repulsed by it.
Hmm. Well, he's spinning a little
bingo cage.
Bingo wheel thing. And Shivani's pulling names out for the blind eliminator challenge, which is this person is going to be tag teamed with this person. But he doesn't tell us who. I was like, boo.
Boo on all of this. How hated fucking
dare
that.
You? How dare you even show me this? I don't give a fuck. This is so terrible. It was a thumbs down.
It was a thumbs down for me. I was trying to figure out because almost immediately afterwards, they sort of show you why they constructed it like that. But there had to have been a better way than having this full segment that is just Shivani looking, going, what? That's crazy. All right. You've got no information. Bye.
I mean, then throw up a graphic and show us what the brackets are like or what the reasoning behind this blind eliminator thing even exists, you know, whatever. Do something, but don't show someone pulling names, reacting to the names, and then not telling us. That is just criminal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wouldn't the bracket just be ? On all of the
entries, I mean,
at this point?
At least it's something.
But if they did it to then have some reason to talk about the eliminator thing, I mean, I would rather see question marks than someone pulling a name and not telling me what it is. Yeah.
Sure. I didn't think that this counted as a – when I was doing my notes, I didn't think that this was substantial enough to count as a segment that I took notes on.
It might not have been, except that I hated it so much that it's going in there.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing just made me furious.
Yeah. It was sure.
So yeah, it has to be a thumbs down if I didn't think it was worth writing down on a fake piece of paper. I have infinity note space in my phone. I didn't think it was worth talking about this.
Sweet. So we're all in agreement. That was terrible, Tony Khan.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got the Elite with Hangman. And because I can't just say Elite, I have to specify he's there.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing a promo. Hangman's doing a promo. Then Eddie Kingston shows up.
And
he's going to be their friend. So he's going to be their tag team partner because the Bucks won't be able to be there, right? Oh, no, Kenny won't be able to be there. So it'll be the Bucks and Hangman, Eddie, and one other person. And Eddie said he's going to tell you later. And I was like, when are we ever going to learn anything? All night they've been saying this. So having three segments in a row where we're not learning who the fucking person is, we have Sting saying, I'll tell you on Saturday. We have Shivani saying, ooh, you'll never guess. And then we have Eddie being like, I'll tell you later. I'm just like, I want to fucking kill everybody. Why can't we know? Why can't we know?
For that reason, I would have thumbed this thing down. But because it's Eddie goddamn Kingston,
I can't not
love Eddie. And because he takes this ridiculous circumstance and he turns it around in a way that's like I don't like you. You tried to run me over. You tried to explode me. Mm-hmm. At that point, I just lost it because you tried to explode me is the greatest sentence in the English language.
I don't think it's accurate.
You know what? There was an exploding death match.
Yeah.
And but they tried to explode
him. He involved himself in it.
The idea
was not to explode Eddie Kingston. That was a collateral damage part of the...
There was an explosion.
He was protecting Moxley.
the exploding was attempted. And he was involved in it. Why would
they say that they tried to do something implies an intent that was not present?
Here's the thing. Eddie Kingston could tell me he was going to fight a chocolate chip cookie, and I would believe him.
Sure.
Because he's that good.
Now, love Eddie. Love Eddie and the Young Bucks. It's a great, great segment.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was great. And with Eddie having been gone for so long, having him come in like this just his energy. God, I missed it. You like, oh my God, it's so different from everybody else. It's so great.
Yeah.
So yeah, big thumbs up.
I am a little worried because like he says later too, it's like, I had surgery and I've been eating a lot of ice cream. Like when he came in on Saturday, I was like, ooh, boy, yeah. Like Eddie is not normally, he doesn't look like he's in great shape normally, but now he does not look like he's in ring shape at all.
Yeah.
Well, a 10-man tag match is a great place to put someone who's not in ring shape.
That's yeah, the truth. Yeah.
And that's the thing. I'm still going to watch him because I love him.
Okay, so then we have Adam. We all thumbs this, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Thumbs up, yeah.
So then we've got Adam Cole doing an in-ring promo. And MJF comes out. Basically, they're having words. And then, because Adam Cole's like, hey, I didn't lose and you didn't win. And you're a coward because you wouldn't do 5 more minutes and blah, blah, blah. And then this video comes on with Tanahashi, which MJF is going to be fighting Tanahashi on Sunday. And MJF keeps saying like, no, that's not what's happening. And it's official. And Adam Cole kind of goads MJF into agreeing. At first, MJF's like, what kind of bullshit is this, Tony Khan? Or whatever he said. I don't remember. Anyways, the promo work was fine. This was all fine. It really wasn't my favorite out of any of them, but I'm very excited to see MJF and Tanahashi. I don't know if it'll be good against MJF, to be honest. I feel like Tanahashi would probably be better against somebody else. But I mean, MJF's got the belt right now, so there we are.
I'm deeply intrigued because I don't know that I've seen MJF wrestle, you know, like a style like that. I mean, we've exactly. seen Danielson, but like straight up New Japan strong style. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what it's going to look like, and I'm hoping that it'll be very good, and it probably will be.
Tanahashi's having a rough year. Tanahashi's getting old. And he's been working a very rough style for a very long time. And I'm a little worried that Tanahashi doesn't have enough for this to make this a great match. I certainly hope he does. And I hope that they're, you know, in communication about this. But I'm concerned about this match.
Like concerned that it's just going to be bad, or concerned that something bad will happen?
Concerned they're just going to be bad. It's going to be a little slow. Okay. It's going to be, you know, they're going to work an MJF match
right.
instead of a Tanahashi match.
See, that's exactly what I'm afraid of.
But also,
it's going to be a weird gimmicky, like, let's do that roll around on the floor thingy MJF match, which I hate, as opposed to something that would be more of Tanahashi's style, which would be way more interesting to watch.
But also, it's going to be a 5-hour pay-per-view, and you're going to sort of expect just a, you know, 6.25 stars from the Tokyo Dome kind of match every time. And there's got to be some change-ups. There's got to be some goofy shit in the middle. There's got
to
be.
Are you seriously trying to say that? There's going to be good matches, so it's okay that there's a shitty one in there.
I'm not saying a shitty match.
Is that what you're saying?
But I'm saying that if there's a real gimmicky match where, you know, an exploding
it's not like the same wrestlers are wrestling every single match.
I'm just like, for
they would have been well rested.
You got to change up the pace. You can't have just, you know, the same match over and over.
You got to change up the pace. You can't have it good. Otherwise, they won't even like it, even if it is good. So you got to make sure it's really bad. And then the next one they'll really like.
You don't understand now, but you will. You will when we're 4 hours into a pay-per-view. You're like, oh, God,
I
cannot take one more brain buster onto the concrete. Please, for God's sakes, just have Doink come in and squirt somebody in the face with a flower. Please. Where's Repo Man?
By the way,
Man?
Where's Danhausen?
Where is Danhausen?
He's hurt. Like,
he oh, is? No.
Yeah, he had some sort of surgery, I think.
Oh, shit.
Oh, wow.
That sucks. I love him.
Come back to us.
Because they haven't given us Danhausen Toru Yano yet, and so they're holding out on us.
Oh, okay.
Because what I would love is if he came back during the pay-per-view for some unknown reason as the evil Danhausen and mm-hmm. had this jar of teeth.
Mm-hmm. And did something really goofy? Style. Are you suggesting that maybe he has some sort of gimmicky type match that would change
saying,
up the pace of the pay-per-view?
I'm saying he wrestles strong style, mm-hmm. but then he has his jar of teeth
mm-hmm.
and pours teeth in someone's mouth
mm-hmm.
as is appropriate.
That sounds pretty gimmicky to me.
That part isn't a gimmick. That part's all part of his shtick. A gimmick, in my mind, is you just roll around on the floor and pretend like you're pinning the other person when really it's clear this is all joint participation to just roll around on the floor. Anyways, that's all.
I'm pro rolling around on the floor, for the record.
Yeah, I think so too.
Although
Danhausen tore a pectoral muscle in March.
Okay.
Ish. That's bad. I had a boyfriend do that, and it took him forever to recover from that. And in fact, he didn't really recover because he didn't get surgery in time.
Ooh.
And so basically, he trained his muscles to overcompensate.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
Yeah.
Thanks for bringing us down, Teresa.
Hey, no problem. Anytime. I'm there for you guys.
The thing we missed in the Cole MJF segment, of course, is that they announced that their secret pair, they were the two names drawn in that
right.
bingo thing from two segments ago.
Right. Which, so like, on the one hand, I like sort of get why they did it that way. On the other hand, like, there was a better way. I don't know what it was, but there was a better way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
And this is a storyline as old as wrestling itself, right? The enemies who have to be tag team partners thing is
yeah.
truly ancient.
Classic old school. I think the fact that nobody mentioned Adam Cole and MJF simultaneously yelling "Shut up, Shivani,"
mm-hmm.
Is criminal. I don't know what show you're watching. That was the match of the night for me, just that one moment. It was like,
well, which brings up, I think, an important question. Should it be legal for Adam Cole to be a face?
You know what? There's something to that, but because I do love him as a heel. But right now I'm enjoying this moment of him as a face. But yeah, he'll turn sooner or later. He has to. He's good at it.
He's a great heel.
But with the exception of the Tanahashi stuff, this was a wheel spinny segment as part of a wheel spinny program.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's very true. Yeah. We're basically just counting down the hours to Forbidden Door.
Yeah.
I middled this segment.
I did too.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Shibata and Orange Cassidy versus Daniel Garcia and Zack Sabre Jr.
Mm.
Yep.
All right. So Garcia dancing and then Orange Cassidy dancing back was perfect. Chef kiss. Lols. Also, Daniel Garcia had a rip in his crotch, and I don't know if that was on purpose or not. Did you see that?
I did not.
It matches his patches, but it was a opening in his crotch. It was like a rip in the pants.
I assume that was intentional, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know how tights work.
yeah, his jeans or whatever.
Yeah, this whole thing was super fun.
Yes. I was really worried for Shibata, though, because they mentioned his subdermal hematoma, and my aunt died of a dermal hematoma. So I'm like, oh my God, I was so worried the whole fucking time after they said that. I'm like, my God, this is very, very serious.
Like, oh yeah, you should/should not watch that match.
Yeah. And like, he was taking kicks from Garcia, and then Garcia had this bloody mouth, and I don't know, this whole thing was great, but Orange punched Shibata, so then Garcia got the pin. And then everyone was trying to take Orange's belt home with them, and it got real awkward there. So another thing that they did before the end of the match, the end of that moment, which they should have waited until much after that, but they announced right then that Tony was officially making it official that it was going to be a match for the international belt between the four of them at Forbidden Door. I'm like,
I like this match, and I am generally for that four-way match, but yeah, that thing of like just sort of last minute, hey, why don't we take, you know, a handful of wrestlers and throw them into a thing for a pay-per-view in 3 days? That just, I don't like how that tastes in my mouth.
I also don't like them saying, oh, you see this match you just saw? How about you see it again in a couple days? The same one. Only this time, someone will, there might be a belt change, you know? I hate that.
That I don't mind so much, because like a tag match is very different from a four way, and these four guys in a four way I'm very interested in seeing. Yeah, so that didn't bother me as much, but yeah
I'm into it. I think turning a tag match into a four way match is enough different for me, especially because you get four very fun different styles here.
That's true.
What'd y'all thumb this?
At the time I was thumbing it up because it was a good match, but I was so uncomfortable the whole time that it makes me also kind of want to give it a middle.
Yeah. But
I can't really do that. I'll give it a thumbs up.
It's, like the subdermal hematoma thing, that's, that'll color your experience of watching professional wrestling.
Yeah. I'm like, this isn't funny.
I mean,
oh yeah, and that the match with Okada where he suffered that injury is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
Is it like it? You
he
can tell.
He headbutts him until he brain damages himself.
Oh my God!
That's
so crazy.
Like,
and I don't know if you can. I don't know if I can. Could I knew it happened before I saw it. So I don't know, like, oh, could I have been able to tell if I didn't know? But like, it's a horrible match to watch with that knowledge.
Dude, I can only imagine.
I disagree with Jim Cornette's like stance on, you know, like strong style Japanese wrestling. On the other hand, like, how can you argue that? A person almost died because of the way they wrestle there. And that happens not, you know, frequently, but also not infrequently enough.
Yeah, it doesn't never happen.
No, I don't know.
Oh, it's just freaky, freaky. So everyone stay away from his head, please.
Yes. Yeah, I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah, I'm stunned that anyone cleared him, but I guess I have to believe that doctors know more than I do.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, he had surgery, so I guess everything's A-okay.
I mean, I've been worried about Samoa Joe for a while. Like when they said you don't get to wrestle anymore, and he's like, "Well, I'll leave the company so I can wrestle." And I'm like, "No, stop, please. We love you too much. Just go commentate." But he seems to be doing fine, so. I don't know.
AEW has to have doctors and insurance companies too.
Yeah.
So they would have to.
But also, we're independent contractors, so, you know, I'm just going to place
Does Tony Khan do that?
Yes.
Oh, what a fucker.
There's no one who doesn't. Like, theoretically, Freddie Prinze is not going to, but he'll be the first if he ever gets his thing off the ground.
I thought Tony was different. What a fucker.
No.
Now, there are a few wrestlers who at least at the beginning, had more substantial deals, but it was only a handful. It was only ever like the Elite and Cody Rhodes and...
That sucks.
Jericho?
Probably.
Well, maybe the $1 billion will change things.
Yeah, I think people get a lot of money and then become better people all the time.
I have high hopes.
Look, as long as he doesn't build an unlicensed submersible, I think there's still a chance that things could get better.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Will Ospreay backstage with Alex Marvez. The way that I think it was Tony was saying that our partner backstage is attempting to break news, and it was for Marvez, just felt like so disdainful that it made me smile. So I'm like, fuck you, Marvez.
Marvez is like, let's see if we can get the scoop. Ospreay's so great.
I do like Will Ospreay.
And Don Callis with Will Ospreay, that makes sense to me. That has like Omega vibes, and Don Callis and Kenny Omega are like unquestionably a perfect combination.
Yeah.
But so I like that Don Callis approached him. It's like, hey, I'm going to protect you with my private security team, okay?
My military grade security. What?
Which you know it's going to be like Takeshi or some shit. But yeah, it was a small little moment, and Ospreay's like, what do you get out of this? And he's like, I don't remember what he said. Did he say something like, oh, I just like helping you out? Or
yeah, I just want to see a fair fight.
That's it. Gotcha. I just want to see a fair fight, which it's like, when have you ever wanted that? But yeah, so I give this a thumbs up.
I middled it just because, you know, like it wasn't either of them at their best. It was mostly just sort of like a setting up for what's this happening?
I really bought Ospreay's acting, though.
Yeah.
I guess I'm the only one.
I gave this a thumb down. I thought there was no content here.
Oh, my God. Do we have a rainbow?
We've got a rainbow. Woo-hoo! One up, one middle, one down.
We did it.
Magical.
It felt like it was like an ad for a promo I'm going to see in the future.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, that is true.
I think that's where my feeling is coming from as well.
So we've got a Toni Storm promo, and she's talking about Willow, and then it's a Willow promo, and she's talking about Toni. And they're going to be competing at Forbidden Door.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for this because Willow needs a huge push. She should be doing more promos. She should be doing lots of stuff because she's got a belt right now, and everyone likes her right now. Toni, these promos of hers recently, especially her as a heel, just get better and better. They're so good.
Light years beyond the shit she was doing at, you know, when she came in. And that's why, like, I'm just like, Adam, go back to being a heel. We need your heel energy because the face thing is just boring me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, oh man, it's so good. She's so good.
Yeah. 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 I'm very excited for this match. Although
it's a shame that it's for Toni's belt because it tells me what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't sure if it was, if I heard that both belts were on the line or if it was just one.
Yeah, it's just Toni's.
But here's the thing. I'll be when this thing, when this happens, when the outcome is very clear, I often find that the wrestlers will step up their game so that I'm watching a match that I want to see, even if I know the outcome. And they got to work extra hard to do that. And I hope they do.
I hope they do too. Ramona, could you be any cuter?
She was like, I could not. I am the cutest.
I don't know. I've seen some pretty cute cats in my time.
This one. She's so weird. It's adorable. Okay, sorry.
What'd you thumb this?
I thumb it up.
Art.
I was not sure this segment counted because it was entirely in video package. Mm. Just as I didn't thumb the collision recap, but yep. I will give this a thumb in the middle.
Okay. Good, good.
We've got Taya Valkyrie versus Chris Statlander.
I thought this was good. And I knew Taya wasn't going to win, though, because Chris Statlander is on her, like, you know, victory lap type. I just came back from being gone. You know, they're not going to give the belt away just yet. This is what's upsetting to me about the women's division, that they can't put anyone else in that ring right now. Why? Why? Not that I don't want to see Taya Valkyrie. I also want to see her. I think she could have more matches and stuff. But I'm so frustrated with Tony Khan and the women's division right now and the just lack of care. There's like a million women that could go in the ring. I mean, I know Bunny's still healing. I think Penelope Ford's in the all clear. I mean, she might not be.
Yeah.
But I think she's clear. There's like, I mean, obviously Nyla Rose, but maybe they're building to that. You know, there's Sheeta. There's, I mean, fuck, name anybody, right? Anybody wants to have a chance at the TBS belt. So,
maybe not the person who just showed up and lost a match.
Yeah.
That, you know, you want to establish as a star.
Maybe exactly.
Literally anyone else.
It's not helpful for Taya. It's just to have her lose back to back like this. And, but anyways, it's just kind of frustrating. So I was frustrated with the booking, but I thought the match was decent.
Yeah. Same.
I've liked Taya for a long time, and I'm worried that she doesn't have it anymore. I found her offense in this match to be really unexciting, which is a shame because I found her to be a very exciting wrestler in the past. Maybe she's having a bad night. Maybe she also didn't want to have an 8-minute and 54-second match that had 3 minutes during the commercial. Could be a lot of things, but that match I was looking at like, does Taya still have it? And you never want to be asking that question, you know?
That's true.
And they always do this to the women's match. Half of it is in the commercial. You barely get to see any of it.
Yeah, that's how I knew to stop watching.
Right. And then
news is they didn't bury it in the third quarter like they normally do the women's match. At least they got it in the, you know, final half hour.
That's true. I don't know. But yeah, so it was just weird.
Yeah.
But I it's a reluctant thumb up.
I still thumbed it up just because, you know, the in-ring was good. It was, you know, as good as it can be. All the rest of the stuff, not so great, but what are you going to do?
I thumbed it down. I'm sick of Tony Khan not giving a shit about the women's division, and it's not the fault of any of the people involved. I think Statlander is a great choice for right now, and I'm excited to see what happens. But
I
don't like the way I'm being asked to take scraps for feasts in the AEW women's division.
100%. And I was talking about this just the other day. It's like you got 5 hours. What the fuck is your excuse, Tony?
No,
you know, he doesn't care. If WWE can do it, then how come you can't? You have all the money in the world now. You can fucking make this happen. Maki Ito lives in America now. So why am I not hearing any rumors of someone?
Why is she not on every goddamn episode of AEW television?
Exactly. Like, what the fuck? You know, like, there's some incredible talent that was originally signed that because of the pandemic, then they just didn't do it. So maybe make overtures again and get more Japanese wrestlers. I mean, if you must, right? If you refuse to deal with American women wrestlers, I just don't understand it. And it's so fucking frustrating because WWE has some of the best women wrestling and they give a lot of time to these storylines. They give a lot of time to those matches. They don't treat them like shit. And I just wish Tony fucking cared. And I think what it'll take is the fans to basically take a giant stick with all of our complaints about it and shove it up Tony's ass. I think that's the only way this little 8-year-old boy is going to finally realize, oh, wait a minute, there's something other than me and my interest.
Sorry, do y'all watch Being the Elite?
What?
Do y'all watch Being the Elite?
No.
Very rarely.
Maki Ito had an appearance on that either this week or the week before. It must be the week before. And that was very surprising to me because that means she was at a show, right? You can't be...
Right. If that means that she is in the process of being signed to AEW,
I would lose my
great segment with her and the Dark Order, where they're lamenting that everyone is leaving them because they're lost Hangman to back to the Elite, and Mahito shows up and they're so happy to see her, and then she says, I'm leaving you, and just A plus stuff. And I have empathy for AEW this month. They thought they were going to have Mercedes Moné for this show and they didn't. And so they just don't know what to do, but it seems that when anything happens with the women's division at all, Tony Khan just throws up his hands and doesn't do anything.
He just doesn't know what to do.
Like I was saying, the other day, he's shown that if pressed, he will change course. Like when, everyone got on him for like not having any black wrestlers. He got some, and now there's a bunch of them and they're all doing well. They've proven, you know, like he didn't have to do anything. He brought them in and they got themselves over. Guess what?
If you bring in good
women, I mean, look, Swerve Strickland is,
he's
had very little interest in him when he came in.
Love Swerve.
He got over with me.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, I was just like, he was undeniable.
I was thinking Maki Ito, if we got Maki Ito, she would be like our Asuka, right?
Yeah.
So like Asuka is like this over the top character, just perfect at WWE that I miss watching all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we could have Maki Ito, which is another over-the-top character that's so perfect that I would just be so happy. I wouldn't feel like I'm missing out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you've got so much TV time to fill now. I can't get a decent women's division.
5 fucking hours, dude. It's so annoying that there's nothing. Well, anyways, enough to talking about the women's division, although I do strongly think fans need to put more effort into giving Tony, give him personally a lot of shit for it, because there's no reason for this. This is so egregious. This company's been around long enough.
He's got $1 billion now.
Yeah. Like just have a long list and a short list and just start hiring people left and right. Cause I know how to run a company. I'm kidding. I don't. Nothing. All right. So then our next segment. We thumbed this.
It's the final segment. It's the main event. And who walks out? Eddie Kingston with a microphone?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not mad.
I am into it.
He comes out in his tank top and he's like, you know what? I got to put my shirt on because I just came back from surgery and I was eating a lot of ice cream. I'm like, aw. Basically, he's saying he hates Claudio.
Yep.
And that even though this match is a weird alliance, he hates Claudio. So even, you know, then Moxley comes out because Moxley's mad.
I legit can't tell because this feud has been going on for more than 10 years. I cannot tell if it's a work or not. I can't tell if he really hates Claudia.
I think it's a convenient work because everyone knows about the problems they've had in the past. So it's very convenient to make it a work right now.
But those problems were also a work, right? This is just like a work that's been going on for a long time.
Could be. I don't know. You got Chan.
Here's the thing. If you do it for if you do it for this long, like I just have to give you respect for committing to the bit. This is like a 12-year bit.
That's a professional for you.
Yeah, I think it's a 12-year bit.
That's impressive.
I can buy it from Eddie.
Like I feel like I commit hard to bits, but this is another level.
Or like they might have like their beef might be a 4 and they're pretending it's a 10.
Yeah.
Like they might not like each other, but I don't think it's anything like what it is on screen.
And right. That it would last years, right? I think it just comes in handy when they need it to.
Fair enough.
But
sometimes I'm just going to believe. I'm going to let my little 8-year-old just have
stop
his
watching
way.
Ted Lasso, would you? Anyway, so I love Eddie. He's so fucking good here, and you're just like, especially him in the ring up against Moxley in like a promo off, sort of. Even though Moxley cuts himself short. And I don't know if he forgot what he was going to say or he fucked up what he was going to say, but he gives the mic back and Eddie's like, oh, fine. If you're not even going to talk, then I'm fucking done. The fifth man is Ichi. And that's the whole crowd goes crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that was good. And yeah, it's just a wonderful reminder of what you love about Eddie and how amazing he is. The energy he brought into the ring, the energy in that. Just a few seconds of a promo and the few seconds between him and Moxley was so good and so strong.
Yeah.
And then Danielson comes out and he calls out Okada. So then Kazuchika Okada comes out and they have a little face off and I was like, fuck yes. And then Danielson is saying something to the camera and they cut away. I just don't get this company. Why would you cut away when someone is speaking to the camera?
They still had the audio on, so you know you could hear him just like talking. True. You know, pretty standard trash. As poor Yuta gets bonked around in the ring, which is fabulous. I love that.
That was pretty great. Mm-hmm. I love Okada.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, how can you not?
So this is fun. I mean, if nothing else, it makes you really want to watch Sunday's pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I already wanted to watch it, but now I'm like, if I don't watch it, I'm going to miss out on everything I was trying to learn from this show.
I thumbed up that last segment as well. Oh, yeah, I thought it was too. Real enjoyable. Oh, yeah.
No, Eddie's the best of the business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
At this. I took a note of what my wife said when Okada and Danielson were standing in the ring is that both these men are very handsome. Do you think anyone's told them?
Oh my god. Yeah.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Yeah, wrestlers could probably be models in their off time. For like some men's fitness. Some shit.
This is a 75% show.
They had some downs.
It's one of the lowest ratings I think we've given to
I agree.
To a Dynamite.
It was a lot of promos and not good ones.
Yeah. But on the other hand, like it's the go home show for a pay-per-view that needs no selling. That's true. Need to be convinced to buy this because either you were going to buy it or you had planned to buy it 3 years ago and there's nothing on God's green earth that's going to stop you. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there are a lot of challenges to doing Forbidden Door, and I think one of them is it makes for TV that can feel a little listless.
Yeah,
that's true. And it's fun to have a surprise for pay-per-views, so it's also, and the fact that, you know, it's between a whole other company and this one, the opportunity to surprise people is pretty big, you know. Although they do tend to use the same wrestlers anytime they do tap Japan for some opponents. So it's not necessarily the biggest surprise in the world or anything. But who knows? Maybe something will happen at Forbidden Door. If that's the thing, you just got to watch.
Yeah. Art, where can people find you online if they're looking for you, if they want more of this magic that you bring?
You can check me out on Twitter at atebble. That's T-E-B-B-E-L. I just signed up for Blue Sky today, where I'm A-M Tebble. And you can check out Friends at the Table. We're at friendsatthetable.net, or we're on your podcasting device.
What is Blue Sky? I'm old.
Blue Sky is a Twitter-like.
Okay. It's by the, isn't it Jack Dorsey who originally started Twitter?
Yeah, it's his, he's, it's, I mean, he still owns Twitter, a lot of regular Twitter, but he just also went and started up a new, it's like it's halfway between Twitter and Mastodon.
Okay.
Twitter, but what if people were less of jerks, allegedly?
Yeah, if it wasn't run by a megalomaniac.
Sounds good on paper.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that sounds interesting.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week, probably.
Yeah, next week. And maybe Collar will be with us, because
we'll see.
We'll see.
He is in Florida, and sometimes you don't come back from Florida.
Don't say that. Don't say that.
I already said it.
Ding dong, ding-a-ling, ding ding, ding ding, ding ding, ding.